Excellent. Friends, this week we begin our sermon series on limitless living in Jesus Christ. Now, I pick up Noah, my son Noah, from school on Wednesdays and Fridays. And every time I pick him up, I usually try to grab a hold of him as he comes through the school doors. Try to grab a hold of him and give him a little hug. And he kind of half hugs me, but he always is keeping his eyes on the front doors of Resnick Elementary School. As he is watching for two people, his friend Jacob and his friend Miles. And as soon as those two boys come out of the door, they lock eyes and an unspoken race is on. They go sprinting through the schoolyard to a little side street where my car is parked and to see which of the boys is fastest. Now, it's about 2:30 in the afternoon at this point, and for me to 2:30 in the afternoon, my energy level is already waning for the day. I'm pretty sapped. And I know that these guys have already been to school all day long, and I think to myself and laugh. I was like, gosh, wouldn't it be great to have limitless energy in life? Everything that I know has a limit in life. I've got a limited time that I have with my children before they head off into the adult world. I've got a limited amount of time that I have to serve as a minister in the United Methodist Church. I have a limited time to walk on the face of the earth. Now, not to be morbid, but every single one of us, from the moment that we were born, there's a little stopwatch that starts. And it starts ticking down towards some unknown point in the future in which that stopwatch will read all zeros. Your time is up. You've reached your limit. Now, Christian, this may come as a surprise to you, but I used to be a pretty good jumper. I used to be able to reach up and touch the basketball hoop. Never quite could slam like you can. Ethan can touch it now. But back in middle school, I was a pretty good high jumper. I could jump over 5'6", but that was my limit. I couldn't jump any higher than that. Now, today, I'd be lucky if I get a few inches off the ground. My limits have changed. I used to feel like I could eat unlimited pizza in life, that there was no amount of pizza that was ever enough for me. But now, as my 43rd year of life, I've discovered that there is definitely a limit to how much I should put into my body, and if I try to push those limits, I pay for it afterwards. I've also discovered that there's a limit to how little I can eat, too, because I've tested those boundaries. I've got a limit to how little I can eat just to keep the engine running. I also have a limit to how much patience I have in this world, and that limit gets shorter and shorter depending on how much I've eaten. So all of these things go hand in hand. Whereas the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13 talks about the fact of breaking the limits of our past and moving forward into a brighter new year to come, that Paul tells us that we need to dare to dream that God has greater things ahead of us. And so open your hearts, open the doors of your hearts. Don't close them. Don't limit the living that you're having. And instead, open the doors of your hearts and learn to live more expansively. In this new year, I want to think less about the limits that have been placed upon me and more about discovering about a limitless living that I can find in Jesus Christ. Every single one of us has something that we need to accomplish in life. And I want to ask you, what is the limit that you have placed upon yourself? Or what limit has been placed upon you that makes the hope of getting there begin to grow dim? I don't know about you, but I need a limitless faith. I need a limitless faith that makes me believe that the destination in my mind, that the dreams of my heart, that they are attainable. Cindy asked me 2 weeks ago, she said, Bill, do you really have limitless faith? Because that's what we're going to talk about today. Do you have limitless faith? And I'd like to believe that I do. But then again, I don't want to have that tested. The disciple Peter had his limitless faith tested in the courtyard of the high priest when Jesus was put on trial. And he found out that he too has a breaking point. Job in the Old Testament is probably the most faithful person that we can find in the Old Testament, but he too had his breaking point. That all of us have a breaking point to the faith that we have, and when we're seeking limitless faith, usually we hit a stumbling block along the way. And it's in that point of breakdown, it's that place where we're broken down along the side of the road, that thank goodness God also has faith in us. And it's the limitless faith that God has in us that sometimes gets us beyond the point of breakdown and moves us forward in life to a place in which we can start again. And so today we enter the season of Epiphany, and we think about the wise men, or the three kings, or the magi. And I think it's an interesting thing that in Scripture, we always talk about it being three kings or three wise men, but Scripture never places a limit on how many wise men were there. As a matter of fact, it is only tradition that says it was only three that came. Now, by logic, reading Scripture, you can say, well, I think it must have been three wise men because we had three different gifts. We had gold, we had frankincense, and myrrh. But who's to say that there weren't 50 wise men who all brought three different types of gifts? Scripture never dictates how many people chose to leave behind their homes and to go and seek our Savior. And so it's a good lesson to all of us that it's often we who set the limits in life. It's we who self-impose the limits upon ourselves, but it's God who removes the barriers. It's God who sets us free and opens our hearts to more expansive living. Remember what the words of Apostle Paul. He says, open up the doors of your hearts and live more expansively. And so I was thinking about the three wise men a little bit this past week. Now, I did a little research that what we do know about them is that they came from the east. They traveled from the east. And so I did a little research on the culture of the people who came from the east. Now, long before Islam ever was, the people of the east believed in a religion called Zoroastrianism. And so I learned a little bit about Zoroastrianism this last week, and I came to find out that they're not so far off from our own beliefs, that some things we have in common. You see, they're the oldest monotheistic religion that still exists today. They believed in one God, a creator of the universe. And they also had the anticipation that a Savior would be born into this world, a Savior sent by that one universal God. They also they believed that this one God put everything good that this world would ever know into the world for us to enjoy. And their life's purpose as a follower of their God is to bring, to add to the joy, to add to the goodness that God had already given. And so to me, it makes sense that they would have traveled with gifts in their possession, prepared always at any turn to add to the goodness that they had themselves received. Now, on the other hand, they also have their concept of evil, much like our own. And their concept of evil in Zoroastrianism is that God is the God that continually renews us. God is the God that continually wants us to find new life. God is the God who wants us to have limitless access to limitless truth. But the humanity injects evil into the world when we begin to lie. It's our lies that limit the life that we can live. It boxes us in. It's our lies that limit the access to truth that God wants us to know. And so just keep that little piece of information in the back of your mind when we'll have our discussion in a few minutes about the life of King Herod, who lived by lies. And so the wise men looked to this nighttime sky, and they looked up into what we have come to know now through science, a universe, an outer space that is absolutely limitless. And they believed by looking up into the nighttime sky that God would give them direction, would write up there everything they ever needed to know. And they followed a star. Now, in our second worship service, Steve Olson's one of our guitar players in our praise band, and he recommended a book for Cindy and I to read. It's called Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. And so Cindy bought that for me for Christmas, and I really love it. It's a really kind of cool book. And I open it up, and the very first page in that book says this. It says, the universe is under no obligation to make sense to you. I kind of like that. The universe is under no obligation to make sense to you. And believe me, the universe is beyond my comprehension. I have a tough time thinking, like I said, everything I know in life has a limit. Whereas it's very difficult for me to wrap my mind around something that is absolutely limitless. But then I apply that to God also. That both the universe and God have no obligation to make sense to us. And that's where that whole limitless faith comes in. That there will be moments in life that do not make sense to us. But it does not mean that God's light is not still shining. So in a discussion with Steve Olson a couple weeks ago, he talked about some of the telescopes that they have out in NASA. that they can see far, far, far out into outer space, so far, in fact, that they're seeing years into the past. Now, can you imagine that we had a telescope that could see so far out into outer space that we could see 1965, right here in the present moment? That's kind of what he's talking about, that we're seeing years into the past. Now, we're seeing so far out into outer space that we have no idea what's happening in the current moment, and we have no idea what is to come, but right now, all we can see is the past. But I think about the three wise men looking up into the universe, into the stars, that when they were into searching for the truth, they turned their eyes to something that was not limited. And I often wonder if that is not putting them on the right path, the very same path that we're, when we go searching for God, to turn our eyes to the things that are not limited, to the things that are absolutely eternal. Maybe, perhaps, that puts us on the right path. But still, we look into that unlimited, that limitless universe with limited eyes that only have the ability to see what has been. And by theory, we can't even see what is currently happening right now. We can't even see the present. It takes a fraction of an instant, a fraction of time for the light to travel from where you're sitting right now to my eyes to know what you're doing. And that's already the past. And certainly our eyes are limited that we can't see the future. And my point is this, that there are times in which we can't see the direction that we're going. We have a lapse of time when all we can do is look to the past to understand what has been. And it's by that blindness that we have in our own limited vision that we stumble forward in faith and learn to have that limitless faith of the wise men that keep them moving forward, keep their eyes focused on the limitless nature of God, moving forward to a child born to be our Savior. Now, I wonder how long the wise men must have truly traveled. We have no idea. But at long last, they found themselves in the court of King Herod, a very limited person. As I had said, King Herod had chosen to limit his own life by living a lie. He was limited in the power that he had. He talked about himself being all powerful, but in reality, he knew, in the back of his mind, he knew he was just a puppet to Rome. He was limited in the amount of time that he would be king. He was limited in the way in which he ruled over his people. And he lived by a lie. And the wise men, I'm pretty sure, were able to discern the lies that he spoke when he said he wanted to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when they heard this lie coming out of his mouth, they realized there was a greater evil that was behind it. And they were no fools. They would not return to this man and give him information that he had requested. But I think about the way in which sometimes we live by lies that simply limit the worlds in which we can live. The lies that we speak box us in. It cuts short this limitless faith that we need to journey through the world. And it boxes us into a much smaller world than God had ever intended us for us. And so the wise men continue on. I don't know about you, but I need a limitless faith. And there have been moments in my life in which I have lived by anything but limitless faith. I've struggled. But in the upcoming years, in the upcoming weeks, we'll explore what it means to have limitless wisdom in God, a wisdom that God wants us to have. We'll explore what it means to have limitless grace and forgiveness. If anyone's ever hurt you, you know that having limitless forgiveness, that's a hard one. And at long last, we'll dive into the limitless love that we discover in Jesus Christ. But along the way, we are called to turn our eyes to the heavens and to realize that everything that we know has a limit. That is, for me, except both the universe and God, and both of which defy my ability to comprehend. But I'm reminded of that opening line, that neither the universe nor God is under any obligation to make sense to me. In order for them to exist, in order for them to be. And so by faith, let us push the limits of what we can see today. By limitless faith, let us be open to the possibilities of what God may bring tomorrow. By faith, as the Apostle Paul says, throw open the doors of your hearts and learn to live more expansively. And though our mind fails to grasp it by faith, this is how we go forward into the beautiful love, wisdom, and grace that we've come to discover in Jesus Christ. It was this very love, wisdom, and grace that the wise men were searching for. It's this very love, wisdom, and grace that they protected from a very limited king named Herod. And it is this love, wisdom, and grace that their limitless faith led them to the doorstep of. So keep your hearts open, keep your eyes open, and keep our minds open. Friends, the victory is won. Even though at times our eyes can't see it today, like a star that is shining far out into the universe, its light is still traveling to us. The victory is won, though perhaps God's light is still coming our direction. And friends, break the limits of last year. Open your hearts and dare to believe in greater things yet to come. Amen.